We're going to talk now to Georgie Brooks Orchett, who was a telephone operator in Ashland. Now, what year did you start work as an operator?
1906.
And what was the name of the company?
Independent Telephone Company.
And that was run by?
Carl Hughes was the manager. And the office was in the building where Mrs. LaBelle now lives.
Were you the only operator that...
They had a night operator. I worked from 7 in the morning until 9 at night, and I got $5 a week.
But was that good wages for them?
Oh, pretty good, I think.
$5 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me about when you first went to work as an operator?
Well, I didn't know much about the switchboard. But when Carl went out with the first telephone in, he rang in and there was a drop came down. The switchboard was like was upright, something like a piano, only smaller. And a drop came down when he rang, and I put a plug in the hole under the drop, and the amp took the key and answered him. And when I connected him with anyone else, when I had to ring back, I had to turn the crank and press the button so many times to make it ring.
Now, this was telephones that was on the wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the little transmitter was right on the wall,
back.
And they picked up the receiver that was on this big long cord and put it to their ear, and then they cranked. Did they have to crank cranks to get you?
Yes, they would take the receiver down and ring one to get the operator.
Ring one. But in the old movies, you always see them cranking away.
If you rang anyone on the line, you'd have to ring 3 or 4 times. You'd have to turn it and stop and turn it.
Oh, I see. They could they could ring someone themselves then.
Oh,
they wouldn't have to ring you to get so and so just
on their own line.
Oh, on their own line.
Oh, yes. There would be perhaps 10 or 14 on the line.
It's a real neighborhood, isn't it?
So
if I were on your line and you wanted to call me, what would you do?
Well, I would put a plug in a certain jack. They call them a jack. And turn the crank and press the button so many times to get you on your number.
But if I was on the lady across the street line and I wanted to get her, did I have to ring you first?
Mm-hmm.
I have to ring you.
Not if you were on the same line. You didn't.
Oh, I see.
But if you was on a different line,
I'd have to ring
you. You'd have to ring the operator to get.
Oh, I see. Quite a bit more work for an operator then, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a lot of work for the operator.
Because during the day, you'd have... About how many calls do you think you'd have to put through during the day?
I haven't any idea. You
have no idea? Mm-mm. Did you have a lot of long-distance calls?
Oh, yes.
Quite a few?
Mm-hmm. So the Ashland Company would have a lot of calls. And the Portage Lake Lumber Company had...
Mm-hmm.
They were big business companies.
Mm-hmm. And can you remember how far away they came from? What town, city?
Oh, anywhere.
States?
Yeah.
You can't remember.
Well, Mr. Pomeroy, the manager down, the head man down to the Ashland Company, was always calling Boston. And I can't remember of any, not like they do now.
Uh-huh.
But
it was something for them.
Yeah.
Now, what about repair men and other workers for the company? Did they have repairmen? Did they call them repairmen then?
Mm-hmm.
But can you remember who they were?
Well, Kyle Hughes was the manager, and he used to go out on, he had men helping him, but I don't remember.
And you were the only operator during the day?
I was the only operator during the day.
And they had an operator?
I can't remember when I went out to dinner.
Did you close it out maybe when you went out to dinner?
Well, I can't remember whether we closed it up or whether he would take over for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
We had a night operator. The night operator might have come in too.
Mm-hmm.
And worked while I went out to lunch.
Now, is that your only duty as an operator was to work the switchboard? Or
mm-hmm.
did you collect the bills? Or did they pay them to you or things like that?
If there wasn't anyone else in the office, well, I would take them, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Could you remember who had the first phone in town?
Someone on the Masavis Road, but I don't remember.
Then could you tell me how much it would cost to have a phone installed?
As far as I know, there was no installation charge, and the telephone, as I remember, was $1.25 a month.
$1.25 a month. That's whether you had 14 on your line or two on your line.
Well, the business phones, I suppose, was more, but I don't remember how much they paid for those. The stores would have, after a while they got so they had private lines or...
Now, There was another telephone company in Ashland, right?
Yes, the Aroostook Telephone Company. Bab Hayward was the operator. And that was in the Whit Hallett store, which is now the bank. The post office was also there. And the independent company sold out to the Aroostook Company
That's all right.
After, perhaps a year and a half or so. And I went to work for the Roaster.
In other words, the independent company just lasted.
Yes, they sold out
just
to
about a year.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reaction to phones being put in? Were people excited about it, having phones in their homes? Or had they been here for quite a while?
Well, the other company had a very few telephones, not very many. And I don't think there was many out in the country at all.
Mostly?
Could have been a few.
Mostly in town here.
Mm-hmm. Could have been a few out in the country, but not many.
Can you think of any funny stories, anything funny that happened to you while you worked there?
No, I don't know.
Can't think of anything that...
I know when we had a thunder shower, there was the board back of the switchboard where all the telephone wires came in, and during a thunder shower that would flash up and down
the lightning would light the board up.
It would come in and flash up like everything.
Could you unhook anything?
No.
I don't suppose you could you?
No, we didn't have to answer the telephone during a thunder shower, unless it rang a lot. Then we tried to answer because there might be a fire or something.
Well, during the winter time, when you'd have big storms or anything, would your telephones be out of order or anything?
Oh, yes, they were out of
quite
order.
Quite a bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had after I went to work for the Aroostook, Ray McLaughlin was the lineman. And then after he got through, Charlie Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Until he went into the First World War. He was working there, I think.
Well, when you moved to the other company, what did you say the name that was?
The Aroostook
Company.
Company.
Was that quite a bit bigger? Did they have a lot more operators there?
We had two. There was a two-position board, but only one worked at a time, unless it was real busy, and if it was, why the bab would sit down and help.
Mm-hmm. And that was in 1905?
No.
1908
that you were in. That's approximately. And I worked until 1915.
And during the time that you worked there, were there other women that came to replace Bab, or did you have extra help come in? Or?
Oh, we had a lot of different operators, several different operators. There was two or three. We built up until there were three operators, besides the manager, the night operator, and two day operators.
Did you wear the little earphone on, or I don't know what you'd call it, receiver on your ear with the wire?
Came over the head.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But just on one ear?
Mm-hmm.
Just on one ear? And then where was your receiver?
Transmitter was around your neck.
Yeah, your receiver was in your neck. Mm-hmm. Your transmitter was around your neck.
On a strap around your neck, connected with the switchboard.
Uh-huh. Quite a bit different than what it is now, wasn't it?
Yes.
How about that little story you were going to tell me?
Well, one night, I was working one night, and during World War II, and I got a call from Portage, a couple flyers, what do I want to say there? Bud McKinney and Jerry Sneed were having a party, and Jerry wanted to put in a call to Hitler. I didn't know hardly what to do with the call, but I talked with the Presque Isle operator, and we kept telling him the line was busy. And finally, he called in and said, well, I'll talk with Mussolini. So, after a while, I told him they were both out. He said, Hitler may be out, but I know old Moosey isn't.